Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedar Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
All right.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
I'm Big Clap.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. You're listening to Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. We're talking about being successful. He sold his record label to PolyGram Records for $500 million. That's with a B. He had a number one single. Singing. Forget about playing the horn, the trumpet, which he is known for. He's had success in so many ways in the world of music. And what did he do? He's figuring out how to give it back. He's 85 years old now. The kindness that ensues from his success. Where in sports do we see this story? We see it in Shaquille O'Neal. The way Shaquille likes to give back is quietly, without people actually knowing what he's doing. At 8:15, we'll be talking to the boys and men from Ayaterra, my favorite LA-based reggae band. Now they're big shots. They're successful. And they now see the kindness that comes with that success. Let's get right into it. Let's learn about Herb Alpert and where this came from. Let's go to Herb Alpert with Bob Costas, number one.
One of the ironies is that none of the members of your group were Latins. It was a Latin kind of beat. Everybody assumed that all or most of the guys were Latin, but no.
Well, there's a bigger irony. I'm not Latin. Of course, my father was from Russia. And he moved to Tijuana when he was a kid, you know.
Yeah, right. Right from Kiev to Tijuana.
Exactly. I don't know. I just have this feeling for Latin music. I saw a bullfight in 62 prior to the Lonely Bull. And I was affected by the feeling, the sound, the, you know, the oles, the bravado of it all. And I tried to translate that into a record.
Number two.
Yeah, you actually took some of the sounds, the ambient sound of the bull ring into the Lonely Bull recording session, right?
Yeah, we placed that on top of the recording after it was finished. In fact, we did it in the old days. We did it, you know, while we were mastering the record. We inserted the oles right on top that were recorded in the bull ring in the downtown arena in Tijuana.
So they did a whole piece on CBS. That was with Bob Costas that we just heard. On CBS, about Herb Alpert's life, where the kindness came from. But you need to know where it all began. So let's go to CBS number one.
Miles Davis said you hear three notes and you know it's Herb Alpert.
Yeah.
Where does that style come from?
It's just the real me. I'm not affecting anything. It's just the way the sound comes out. You know, one of my teachers used to tell me, hey, man, you're just playing a piece of plumbing. That's how he described the horn and the trumpet.
That piece of plumbing has served him well. 6 top 10 hits, 8 Grammys, his unique South of the Border sound selling more than 70 million albums. Quite an accomplishment for a shy Jewish kid from East L.A.
Let's go to number 3.
Tijuana had some world-class matadors. Then this trumpet section in the stands, you know, they would announce the different programs, the different events in the bullfight. You know, like, ba-da, ba-da, da-da, 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 da. I got kind of chill bumped from all that stuff, and I tried to translate the feeling of those afternoons to a song.
He's a Jewish guy from Boyle Heights and went to Tijuana and watched a bullfight. And that's how this all started. Number 4, let's listen to his biggest hit, his first number one hit, Lonely Bull.
The Lonely Bull was a top 10 hit in 1962, and with the money it brought in, Alpert and a friend, Jerry Moss, decided to produce the next album themselves. Alpert and Moss formed the now legendary A&M Records. During the next three decades, A&M would release more than 30 Herb Alpert albums.
He ultimately becomes successful as a singer, as a record company, success on so many levels beyond the Tijuana Brass. Let's go to number five.
You see this guy, this guy's in love with you.
In 1968, he had a number one hit as a singer.
I'm in love.
A popular TV show, The Dating Game, used his tunes as its theme music.
But ultimately, he becomes a real genius at spotting talent. This A&M Records really blew up when they signed the Carpenters in 1968-69. So let's go to number six.
Well, I signed the Carpenters in 1969 or 1970.
You walk by.
It was Alpert who convinced Karen and Richard Carpenter to record the song that would make them superstars.
When that song happened, all of a sudden, I turned into a genius to the people that didn't like them.
That song you heard him sing, which became a number one hit, Burt Bacharach and Hal David wrote that song because he had a TV special. So he sang it on the TV special. The next day, it was requested to be played on the radio by so many stations that he was forced to actually release it as a single. He was only going to sing it once on the TV show. Thank You becomes a number one hit. You can't say that's luck, but it's being blessed. And the best part about it is he knows he was blessed. And that's what this is all about, where the kindness comes from knowing you've been blessed by your success. Let's go to number seven.
By 1989, Alpert had had it with the music industry. And when Giant PolyGram Records made an offer he couldn't refuse, he didn't. Alpert and Moss sold A&M for a reported $460 million.
Came out okay in this deal.
Came out okay, yeah.
His wife, her name is Lanny Hall, sang with Sergio Mendez. And the two of them together started some incredible charities. But my favorite story is him reading in the paper about a music school in Harlem that's going under. Finances are terrible. It's in the paper. They're going to close the school. And all the way here in California, the school's in Harlem, Herb Alpert reads about it in the paper. Listen to what he does. Number eight.
Herb and Lonnie had it made, and they knew it. So they decided to start giving back. In 1988, they established the Herb Alpert Foundation. So far, they've given away more than $100 million, promoting education in the arts.
Welcome to our home, our musical home in Harlem.
One of his most recent causes is New York's Harlem School of the Arts, a neighborhood fixture since 1964. Last spring, hard times forced the school to shut its doors. 3,000 miles away, Alpert read about it in the newspaper.
Now let's hear number nine.
Herb woke up one morning and saw the headline that the school was going to close. And he said, that can't happen. And they wrote a check for $500,000. Just out of the blue? Out of the blue.
Charles Hamilton is the school's chairman.
Without Herb Alpert, this school would be closed today. We owe that. We owe a great debt of thanks to him for that.
And it ultimately became $5 million. Number 10, this is where you'll hear him say, I'm blessed. This is the right thing to do.
I am so blessed. And I just feel compelled to pass it on.
This is what it's all about.
Wow. It's just been very fulfilling. And then to walk through this facility and talk to the people involved, I mean, it's chilling for me. I know this sounds a little corny, but I get it. I dig it.
Where in sports do we see a story like this of success leading to kindness. Let's listen to Shaquille O'Neal, the Big Diesel, Shaq helping others, number one.
He's driving and he sees a homeless guy and some army fatigues. This like if he ever saw a guy in army fatigues, he's pulling over. So he sees a guy, he makes a U-E in the middle of the street, he's talking to this guy, and he recognized the platoon that the guy was from. Man, I know, did you know what? Yeah, I knew him and then there. So the guy was down on his luck, and my father had, he had like 5 double cheeseburgers left. My father had $20. And in my mind, I'm like, what are you doing, bro? I'm going to eat that later. When y'all go to sleep, after everybody get there, I'm going to eat. What are you doing? Like,
number two.
I'm like, you know, selfish at this point. Like, you finally get some change. I get to stop eating army crackers and army cheese. This is my food. So he gives the guy the food, and he gets in the car, and he slams the door, and he got a little tear in his eye, and he just looks and says, if you ever make, and like I remember these words, if you ever make it big time, make sure you help those in need. And then on Thanksgiving, you know, he would go to the barracks and round up the troops, and we would go. We'd have blankets. We have all the army rations that they were getting ready to throw away. Whatever we can. Spam, peanut butter, bread. Give it to the homeless people. So those are three things that I do today.
This is from an interview with Graham Bensinger. He's fantastic with Shaquille O'Neal. Let's go to number three. He gives from the heart.
Because of what a man that made $30,000 a year taught me. From a woman who was a secretary, probably made $20,000 a year. They taught me that. So, you know, a lot of people, when they look at me and the charities that I do, this is from the heart.
Let's go to number four.
Like sometimes when I see people doing charities, I could tell they're just doing it for the moment. Like, for example, whenever it's a hurricane relief thingy, people who you never see do anything, all of a sudden they just pop up. And they're tweeting about it. Like I tell people all the time, I do a lot of stuff seen and unseen. Like, it doesn't matter to me if you know that I just fed 10,000 homeless. That I'm doing this because this was what I was taught. I'm doing it because to walk in there and see a family put a smile on their face for a day, that's just awesome to me.
You should give charity, but give it quietly, anonymously. That is the best way to give charity, and that's what he does. Listen to this story from Shaquille O'Neal, number five.
One time a grandmother had a kid that couldn't walk. I bought her a van. And see, like, these are stories that you'll never hear. I bought her a van. Just the other day, I get an email, a little beautiful, and I'll give you her mother's number so you can talk to her. A little beautiful girl that has cancer, A. Marie. So the mom hits me on the email. I don't know if this is your email, but my daughter, she calls you Bubby. She would like to see you. I'm in L.A.
Number six.
So I hit her back. I'll be in L.A. I'm going to come see you. This isn't Shaq. I'm like, all right, whatever you say. So I go see her, and she wasn't doing well before I wanted to go see her. So now that I went to see her, her spirits are up. She's happy. I told her to hang in there. And, you know, just seeing the kid smile. Just seeing the kid smile. It's fulfilling to me, you know, to know that a former high-level juvenile delinquent who all the experts said was going to be in the Army like his father, who all the people said he was going to be a bum, all the people said he wasn't going to do anything, is now the guy that's making kids all around the world smile. That's my thing. I just want to make you smile.
And you do, Shaquille O'Neal. Let's listen to how important the poor part of town in New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, where he grew up, the Boys and Girls Club, where he was told by his parents, we're at work. After school, you go to the Boys and Girls Club. Miss Banks will meet you there. And that's where you're going to stay till we're done with work. As a little kid, well, now he's a big shot. He's successful. And he goes back to Newark behind the scenes and is taking care of that same Boys and Girls Club and Miss Banks. Let's listen to Shaq Gives Back, number one.
This is the place where it all started. Both parents had jobs, couldn't afford babysitters. Good thing for me, I live right across the street, Clinton and Avon, right there. Those projects right there. So I was instructed to, after school, come here and wait. Till one of us can get you.
And the lady by the name of Miss Banks, she's still here.
Sure is.
She's like everybody's aunt, everybody's mom, everybody's grandma. She was one that just made sure all the kids went in the right direction.
And number two.
First thing I learned was how to turn criticism into motivation. I was coming over here 9, 10 years old, bigger than everybody. So, of course, when you're bigger than everybody, everybody expects you to be Michael Jordan already. But terrible. Couldn't dribble, couldn't play, couldn't dunk. But I always had that drive and that determination.
If you were not here and this club were not here, where would Shaquille O'Neal have been?
I think about it all the time. I had to learn the hard way on how to become a leader and not a follower. I owe this place. I owe the Boys and Girls Club of America. That's why I keep coming back. If it wasn't for this place, there'd be no Shaquille O'Neal or a Shaquille O'Neal brand.
Number three.
People call it giving back. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do it because my mother told me to do it. Mom says, you need to go back and fix that place up. You need to go back to Newark and fix Newark up. You know, I see a family that don't have a house. Handle that. So all the stuff that I'm doing, some people may call it giving back, but I'm taking orders from the person who raised me, Lucille O'Neal Harrison.
And finally, even as a baby, his grandma knew he was going to be special. Number four.
Any man that doesn't love and honor his mother or any woman is not a real man. So, you know, my mom has worked hard for me. And, you know, the reason why I've worked hard for her because, you know, I appreciated that. And funny thing about our relationship is her mother told her when I was born, this one's special. Watch out for this. This one right here is going to be world known. 1 year old, my grandmother told me about that. This one right here, everybody's going to know this guy's name. So I'm just doing what I'm told.
Incredible. Great Shaquille O'Neal. In sports, success and his kindness. In art, Herb Alpert, Tijuana Brass, his success and his kindness. And coming up next, my favorite band. They're going to talk to us about their success and the kindness that ensues. The great Ayaterra, all five of them on the line. I can't wait. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
When I see the food, I eat it. Bada boom.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
I'm on a light diet. I only eat when it's light out. Bada boom.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Isn't this fantastic? This is my favorite LA band, my favorite reggae band, the great Ayaterra. I'm so excited. All five guys are on the line. Correct? Conference call? Is that true, Nick?
I think it's true. Everybody's here.
So let's go through everybody. Tanner Arabalo, Louis Tovar.
Yep.
Nathan Feinstein, Nick Laporcio, and Nick Safakis, correct?
That's us.
Yes, sir.
Five.
So I want to be able to ask each of you a question, but let's get started with what generated today's topic. Nicholas Laporcio, I asked you, you guys are doing so well, and I can't be happier or prouder of you. And I asked you, what have you learned with this beautiful success that you've been blessed with? And you said kindness. That was so great. And I didn't expect that. Speak about that a little bit.
Well, I think at the time there was somebody who just passed away, Jerry Stiller. He was a comedian. And there was a quote he had said, left somebody with, like in his last few days. And he said, to be great at something or be skilled at something is great and important, but to be kind is so much more important. And it really, you know, just made me think and reflect on all the successful moments I think we've had and successful people. And, you know, I think that for longevity and just what's really most important is, yeah, the kindness and love that you put into everything that you do, you know?
It's just a beautiful message, and you can hear it in your music. That song, By My Side, is all about that. I mean, you talk the talk, but you walk the walk. Rebecca, let's play a soundbite of Herb Alpert with Bob Costas, number one.
One of the ironies is that none of the members of your group were Latins. It was a Latin kind of beat. Everybody assumed that all or most of the guys were Latin, but no.
Well, there's a bigger irony. I'm not Latin. Of course, my father was from Russia. And he moved to Tijuana when he was a kid, you know.
Yeah, right. Right from Kiev to Tijuana.
Exactly. I don't know. I just have this feeling for Latin music. I saw Bullfight in 62 prior to The Lonely Bull. And I was affected by the feeling, the sound, the, you know, the oles, the bravado of it all. And I tried to translate that into a record.
So I want, Nathan, you to listen to that from Herb Alpert, one of the most successful musicians of the 20th century. He's a Jewish guy from Boyle Heights who fell in love with music from Mexico. And people do not want to believe that he's not Latin. Tell me your journey, Nathan. You fall in love, and you almost have to justify who you have a gift, this beautiful voice you have. But you could probably relate to that question that Herb Alpert's getting, being a guy named Nathan Feinstein, who's the most incredible reggae singer, right?
Yeah, man. I appreciate the kind words, Clapper. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
I think, you know, it's as times go on, music, it tends to just reach further and further from its originated source in all genres of music. And a couple of decades ago, the world was just blessed by an outbreak of reggae music. And you see these different little hubs where it really caught on and it really became something special, places like England and Hawaii and California as well. And, you know, growing up on the West Coast, I was always surrounded by hip-hop and rock and roll and reggae. And as my journey as a musician progressed, I somehow found myself falling in love with music from Jamaica and falling in love with reggae and aspiring to create those kinds of sounds and those kind of vibes, you know. And so me and the guys, we all, like, fell in love with this music at the same time and just threw ourselves into it and dug so deep into this music that's it's so you know, it's iconic, and we wanted to be a part of that. And so we emulate a lot of the artists that we love and things like that. And you know, we're lucky that America is now becoming known as a great, one of the greats in reggae music, because we have this really cool era of American reggae music coming about now. So every day we feel honored to be a part of that movement, and we feel responsible. We feel a responsibility to carry the message well, you know, and not stray too far from the source. And yeah, it's just a blessing, you know, it's just a blessing that we found reggae music. We love this music and we're happy to be playing it.
Well, nobody does it better than you, Nathan. And I'm not just saying it because you're on the air with me now. You could tell your love affair, your respect for it in every time you take that microphone and sing. And just because a guy is born in Jamaica, just because he likes reggae, he may not necessarily bring that passion and love and respect that you have for the genre. So you're, keep it going. The success is not happening by luck, by accident. It's by hard work, and it's your love affair. I want to ask now, let's go to Louis Tovar. Louis, where were you? What was the song that told you it's reggae music, not rock and roll, not hip hop? Do you remember who the band was? Do you remember the song? Do you remember when it happened in your life?
If I had a guess, it'd probably be maybe Three Little Birds by Bob Marley.
Wow.
be in all on. I mean, that's probably like one of the earliest songs that I remember even like as a kid just hearing it. I was like, what is that? My parents didn't know who Bob Marley was until after I was already in this band. So it was just one of those things that, yeah, I just, it was always, you know, that, especially that song, you know, it's one of those just like, it just brings everyone together. Even though I didn't know who this man was at whatever age I was when I first heard that song, you know, I mean, that was probably like my first real exposure to it. Probably, it would have to be a Bob song for sure.
Got it. All right, let's ask Nick Safakis a question. Nick, when now that the success you guys have been blessed with because of your hard work, you're now on stage. The fans, they're there. Now all of a sudden you look out on the crowd and you see that their lips are moving because they actually know all the words to the song that you're now playing. What is that like when you feel or see that the fans want to be right there with you as the song is going on?
There's no better feeling, man. We wouldn't be anywhere without our fans. And, I mean, that shows a lot to, like you were saying, Nate's songwriting abilities and his ability to just connect universally. Even though we're playing reggae and it might be a genre people have never heard before, the message is love, and love has been around. And I think he does a really good job of conveying that message through the lyrics in a universal sense, where people can grasp on and sing with us. And it's an amazing feeling, man, to be in different parts of the country, all over the place, you know, and just see people and family, legit family, that know every word and may have never met before, but it's a great connection, you know. It's a healing, a blessed part of it.
Yeah, it just must be incredible for you to practice the song in the garage, now in the studio, and you keep correcting yourselves. You're working on it kind of like a sculptor chiseling away at the marble. You're working at a song until you finally go, this sounds right. You then perform it, and again and again, and now you have people who actually weren't there when you first created it, but they now love the finished product that's about to come out of your mouth, and they know the words before you're going to say it. Just what a joy that must be to be able to share it with everybody. I want to talk to Nick LaPorchio now. Nick, you know, you're my connection to the band originally, so you have a very special place in my heart, and certainly your family as well, and your dad. But when you sit down and write a song with Nathan, and you go through the music, the lyrics, you can totally relate, even though it's a reach to say it, but to Lennon and McCartney. Later on, Paul McCartney, who's still alive, says, actually, you should start calling the songs McCartney and Lennon, because I actually wrote it. Well, Lennon isn't here to actually fight back. They made the most beautiful music, the Beatles, Lennon and McCartney, those two guys together. Take us through the process of writing a song with Nathan. Do you start strumming on the guitar, on the bass? Do you start with the words? Tell us what it's like to write one of your songs.
Every song's so much different, and I think it's really cool. Like, and in our group especially, it's really nice that everybody's able to create and bring something to the table. I don't think that there's just like one or two writers. I'd say everybody in this band is like an extremely talented songwriter, and I've been so fortunate to be just around so many good songwriters in general in this group and in other groups. And you know, sometimes it might be somebody just has a chord idea, starts maybe jamming it while we're all together, and then Tanner will just start playing a beat, and you know, it all comes together. And you know, Nate might have some lyrics he already had written, you know, and was saving. Or sometimes it might be totally the opposite, you know, like a lot of times somebody will kind of draw up or dream up a whole song in their room by themselves on their computer, you know, and then send it around, and then we kind of do the sculpting that way, like via the internet. And especially now with the current situation and stuff, like a lot of people and ideas are getting sent over that way. So, I mean, there's so many different ways now, I think, that it's coming. And I think, yeah, there's so many possibilities, really.
You know, in life, when you're given lemons, the secret is to make lemonade, not cry that all you have are lemons. The people that I love hanging around with are the people who see the joy, who see the positivity, and even this horrible pandemic that we're going through has literally forced the world to pause. Well, for five musicians who have an incredible band who now have their concert tour blown up, you can cry all you want, but if you look at the bright side, how great was it to be a creative group to now be forced to stop and reflect on your career and to be able to now spend time together, the songs you must be writing now, making positive out of this. Has that occurred? What's next for you guys? As if anyone knows what's next, but how has the pandemic affected Ayaterra?
You've got to trust the process, and I think we're all trusting the process and staying, keeping our mental nice and healthy and just creating, man. We've been blessed with creative minds, and there's honestly no better thing than creative minds just to be at home creating all day long. So we'd love to be on the road again very soon. But always just got to trust the process of why everything's happening.
Nate, how did the song By My Side come about?
That one I have a very vivid memory of. When we wrote that song, it was probably like 2016 or 2017, and I had the lyric ideas floating around my head for a while, and I was still working a day job. Shout out to Whole Foods in Porter Ranch. Mm-hmm. And I came home from work, and I was still living with my mom up in the valley, and I had this whole song in my head, and I was ready to, like, lay it down. But it was, like, 11 p.m. I had just got off work, and my mom was sleeping in the next room over. But I picked up my guitar and played that riff and started laying down the stuff, and I remember my mom yelling at me, like, shut the hell up. I was like, Mom, I got something really special here. Just let me, like, keep going on this.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, it's a song that you know, every one of your songs is special. But when I was going through all of them, knowing I'd be so blessed to be able to talk to you guys today, that song really touches on the kindness in life that your success has brought, that a lot of people are going to hear that song. And thanks to your mom for letting you finish putting it together.
I think she was reluctant at first, but she loves the song too. So she's like, okay, I'm glad I let him keep going with that one.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for letting me find a topic this week that allowed me to look into the world that I love of surgery, of art, and of sports, because you're right, Nick Laporcio, when you do get success and you realize it's a blessing, the first thing you should do is recognize that now you have a responsibility to be kind to those who are less fortunate. And you guys are emblematic of it. And I can just tell you, keep it going. It's so great for me in the operating room to be changing someone's life. You guys need to know we're listening to your music in the operating room. You may not think in your bedroom, in your studio, you're writing a song that someone like me is making the world a better place with surgery, but that's how far your music goes. So keep it up, gentlemen.
That's beautiful, man.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be in touch. We're going to keep following the career. I'll be in touch with you, Nick and Nate. And until next time, be well, and we'll talk soon. Thanks so much for waking up early to be with us.
We love you, Doc. Thank you.
Okay, God bless you guys.
Thanks.
All right, the great Ayaterra, my favorite band, and they're blowing up for all the right reasons. Coming up next, I'll take your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. The clinic will be open. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show on 710 ESPN.
You're listening to The Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
He's infectious, and I can say that because I'm a doctor.
Start your weekend off right, listening to The Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Roberto Clapperio.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. I went a little long with the interview because I love those guys. We're going to do a quick segment now, take a break, and then Aaron, you stay on the line. I promise I'm going to take your call. So let me do this quick segment. This week, I discovered something from my childhood, and it involves chocolate. You know how much I love from chocolate ice cream, sorbet, chocolate babka. We can go down the whole line. I talked about the chocolate chip strip from Bee's Bakeries. I'm a chocoholic. And how much I love the donuts of Good Time Donuts in Ventura. But the greatest chocolate donut that I've ever had still lives. I did not believe this was a shock to my system. I need you to do this, particularly for Memorial Day. You have this box of donuts at your table. I promise you, you will sit down. You may want to have a cup of coffee and a cigarette because it's orgasmic when you bite this chocolate donut. You get them at Gelson's. The company is called Entenmann's. There's three letter N's in the word Entenmann's. They're called chocolate rich frosted donuts. There's a crack to the icing, the chewiness of this vanilla dough inside. But it's not like just the top is an icing of chocolate. The entire donut is glazed with a dark, not a milk, chocolate that crackles. And yet there's this soft chewiness in the dough. It's the greatest chewy chocolate donut you will ever have. Entenmann's donut, go to Gelson's. Coming up next, I'm going to take Aaron's call. We'll talk a little bit about his hip. We'll do some Clapper Vision. And then next week, the great Ben Lyons is going to be my guest. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
My mother is quelling in heaven right now when you say that.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with
Dr. Clapper, Renaissance man, surfing sculptor, smoother. Gee, Lord have mercy.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
You see this guy.
This guy. This guy's in love with you. Hmm? This is the great Herb Alpert, yes, the trumpet player, singing a song written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. With all that success, playing the trumpet, singing a song, starting his own record company, doing the song for the dating game, for T-Berry Gum. He did it all. But he realized it's time to give back the kindness that came from his success. Just like it was discovered by Ayaterra, my guest at 8:15, my favorite band, and the great Shaquille O'Neal. Something for all of us to learn about, being kind. Right now, or I should say next week, the great Ben Lyons will be my guest, and I'm going to ask him one question. They say all the president's men. It was a true story about Nixon and Watergate. You knew the ending. But why do many film critics consider it the greatest movie? It's because you actually already knew the ending and you still were riveted in your seat. What else makes up a good movie? Ben Lyons is going to teach us next Saturday. Can't wait to talk to him. Right now, let's go to Aaron. Thanks for hanging on for so long. I apologize about bouncing you around. It's a crazy time on the radio, and I love it. Thanks so much, Aaron. How can I help you?
No worries about that, Dr. Clapper. It's a weird time, so, hey, we all have to improvise, adapt, overcome. So it just goes with the territory nowadays.
How old are you, Aaron, and what do you do for a living?
I am 51. I am a teacher and coach at San Marcos High School in Santa Barbara.
God bless you. Good for you. All right. How can I help? What's up?
So when I was a kid, I had calviperthes, LCP, in my right hip. So I grew up, like six years old to 10 years old with an A-frame cast on my legs as it went through its whole course.
Can I just take a second to tell the audience what that is?
Yes, sir.
And you'll learn as well. When a baby is, when a woman is pregnant, the baby is in her womb, in her uterus. Here's one of the miracles that I want you all to appreciate. What creates the eyeball, right, that we all see out of? Because when you are developing as an embryo, the coverage of skin over the not born yet baby, the embryo, there is a communication between the skin in front of the eye socket that tells those cells, those stem cells, you need to become an eyeball and not stay as skin. There is an actual communication between the skin that it will disappear and become an eyeball. Not where your mouth is, not where your nose is, but where your eye socket is. It's amazing. Embryology. Well, that same embryo developing in the mother's womb, in the uterus, the ball of the ball and socket joint literally tells the socket, I'm a hemisphere, I'm a billiard ball, like a pool ball, and you need to become you, the flat bone of the pelvis. You now need to become a female surface for the hemisphere of the ball. They literally talk to each other. The ball helps shape the socket to become a socket. What if the ball doesn't talk correctly to the socket, and the socket doesn't talk to the ball correctly in shaping the ball as well? That breakdown leads to a misshaped ball, circulation, all the rest of it, and creates a mismatch between the ball and the socket. It doesn't perfectly fit anymore. The bone starts to die off because it's not fitting well. That's what you have, Aaron. That's what leg perthes is. And at 51, it will lead to premature arthritis in your hip and, you know, oftentimes the need for a hip replacement. So go ahead, continue.
So I had that hip replaced when I was 32. So
correct.
I'm living with that. But the reason why my question is, my right shoulder has been getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And a doctor a long time ago had told me if there was such a thing for LCP in the shoulder, I had it. I can't reach up and shoot a basketball anymore. I can't throw a ball anymore. When I reach up for stuff in the cupboards, I use my left hand because I can reach up two times as high as with my right shoulder. And so I just wanted to know, is there any correlation with that, that there could be something like LCP in my shoulder to cause all this degeneration? When I rotate it, I can feel it grinding and everything.
So you're all the way up in Santa Barbara, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you listen to this show?
Yes, I do. I'm currently driving down to San Diego to check on my parents, and I go down there so often, and every time I do, I listen to you.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, I very much appreciate the phone call. There's a book I wrote called Heal Your Hips with Linda Huey. You should get a copy. It'll help explain a lot of things and how you need to take care of that right hip. But to answer your question specifically, my wife always says I never answer the question, so I'm going to answer the question. You absolutely have nothing to do with leg perthes in your arm, in your shoulder, with your hip. So whoever told you that, God bless them. They're entitled to their opinion. Here's my opinion. As gotcha. Today in New York, Aaron, forget about it. Get out of here. That ain't going on in your right shoulder. You are developing either a problem with your rotator cuff or bone on bone with a large, here's a clap revision. You light a candle. The candle's hot. The wax starts to drip. The dripping, you've seen the dripping around the candle? That's yeah. exactly what your x-ray is going to look like, where this, the bone spurs look like candle wax dripping. The candle is the arm bone, the humerus. The top of the candle is the humeral head, the ball. You're going to look like you have candle wax dripping. You're going to need exam. You're going to need an x-ray. And you're going to need an MRI to evaluate the status of your rotator cuff. But one of the most beautiful things of the many surgeries I do is people with an arthritic shoulder or they've torn their rotator cuff. So you're more than welcome to come see me. You can go see someone in Santa Barbara. That's up to you. But what they told you is not the case. So do not let them shoot you with cortisone. No stem cells. No, don't be holistic. Don't let anybody stick any needles into your shoulder. Get examined, an x-ray, an MRI. You do not need dye injected into your shoulder. A regular MRI is fine. And if you can't get to see someone that you like up there, then you'll come into Cedars-Sinai to see me.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank I want you, so you to much. Do me a favor. You're a total stranger, maybe not for long. You aren't anymore, and I just helped you driving down to San Diego, doing a beautiful thing, seeing your mom. You need to find a total stranger today, Aaron, and do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Will do.
All right, young man. God bless you, and thanks for the phone call. You've allowed me to educate all the listeners as well. As I said, next week, the great Ben Lyons will be my guest. Don't miss coming up on this station. John Ireland playing golf against Travis Rogers. You know what I would call that golf tournament as an orthopedic surgeon? I would call that golf tournament pre-op. Someone's going to hurt something, either their back, their shoulder, their knee. Look out. They should call it the pre-op tournament. Two of the loveliest guys I've met in my time in radio, my time at ESPN, genuinely nice, great people, the great John Ireland and Travis Rogers. So good luck to them. Gentlemen, be safe. Have fun out there. And for you weekend warriors, you know where to find me every Saturday morning. And thanks for telling your friends and have a good Memorial Day. And don't forget peanut butter, sriracha, relish on the hot dog. Until next time, I'll see you on the radio.